Does anybody remember what God asked Adam in when Adam and Eve fell? Where are you? The first thing, that's good, but the first thing is, where are you? That's my first point, is where are you? You know, I don't know what would have happened if Adam told the truth, but I think things would have been different. He didn't tell the truth, did he? What did he say? I heard your voice, I was scared, and I hid. And then Eve didn't do any better. I don't know about Eve. You know, I wrote down in my notes that it seemed like Eve was functioning in self-reliance, you know. I know Paul says that she was deceived, but just kind of like, I mean, there's a lot of points there. But let's just stay with that one. Where are you? I think that's being honest. You know, how many of you guys ever heard to be honest? You know, tell the truth, be honest, right? To me, that used to mean just like, don't ever lie to somebody. Don't ever say, you know, that I'm a different name or something like that. Like people, it's funny being 6'11", so I see some new faces and good to see everybody. If you don't know, I'm Paul and I'm 6'11", or 5'23". A little side note, a little funny thing. Like we auditioned for Family Feud a couple Saturdays ago, and it was so much fun. We went down to Culver City, and we auditioned. And then the guy gets to me, and my mom was like, she was the captain of our team, and she introduces the whole family. And my name is Nina, and I am the shortest of the Brandt family, you know. And it's so funny because the whole room is just people that, like, hate you because they want you to fail and because they want to be on the show. It's like everyone's like, but they were laughing. And then because it's all these people, like, they just call it families and they audition. And then he gets to me, and he's like, so, Paul, how tall are you? I'm like, 5'23", Steve. It wasn't Steve Harvey, you know. We have to audition to get to Steve, but I'm practicing because we're going to be on the show. I'm telling you right now. I said, 5'23", and he's looking at me like, I said, you don't want to do the math. And so he was just kind of giving me an attitude. I'm just kidding. He didn't give me an attitude, but you could tell he didn't want to do the math. And it's funny, I'll come up to some people and I've done this before. They'll ask me, how tall are you? And I'll say, like, 7'4". And they're just like, okay. Because, like, when you're average height, you don't know what 6'11 or 7'4 is, right? It's like no point of reference. So that's what I thought telling the truth was. Like, don't tell someone you're 7'4 when you're only 6'11". You know what I mean? Like, didn't even make 7 feet. But I've learned that, you know, telling the truth is about telling the truth about, for me, a big application is telling the truth about ourselves, is knowing ourselves and allowing somebody else to know us, to really know us. There's something powerful about being known. Not just, I mean, people talk about my height all the time, and yes, it gets old, because that's not who I am. This is just a body I live in. You know what I mean? And people want to make it this big deal, and I try to, like, you know, put on a smile, like, yeah, I hit my head sometimes. That's really fun. You know, okay, appreciate you too. Hope you don't trip on the way out. You know, I mean, you just try to be, like, make it a big deal, but it's not a big deal because our heart is what we want people to know. Right? We want to be known, and that's exactly what God wants to do. So I want to jump into John 4. We're just going to go through John 4. I love, love, love to quote Pride and Prejudice. This story that Jesus walks up. Keep going. Can you get, hold on a second. Yeah, I told you guys to do the whole chapter, so let me pull it up in my Bible. All right, verse 4. He needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the place of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And just, if you guys don't know the background, like this was like men and women. Men didn't talk to women because men were way superior in that culture. And it would be like if you went back to Israel, and I don't know if you guys know about like Palestine and Israel, and there's all this drama, and they basically hate each other. And so that's kind of what it was. The Jews, the Israelites, and the Samaritans, they had major drama between them. But that doesn't stop Jesus. Amen? He loves every one of us. He wants to know every one of us. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." She's like, "What's going on? Why are you talking to me? I can't believe this." I don't know what her emotions were. I don't know, but she was shocked. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Just notice how she's in the natural, and when you know the heart of Jesus, you start to realize that what he's doing. He is not just passing out a pamphlet to get somebody saved. He is absolutely confronting her soul. He's absolutely just completely getting to know her, okay? But she's still in the natural. And then Jesus says, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, You have well said, "I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." Like that right there, how many of you guys know you could say that, like, I don't know if you guys, Jerry Springer's old, but, you know, whatever, the latest, like, talk show that just spreads everybody, TMZ or whatever, spreads everybody's drama. You could say that, and it would be hard to resist, like, "Oh, yeah, girl, you tripping." You know what I mean? You don't even know what a relationship is supposed to be like. Like, it's just, if that's what's in you, then that's what's going to come out. But you guys understand, Jesus is confronting her with truth, because he is truth. The way to know truth is always through relationship. That's why he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You don't learn. Like, did you notice who that gentleman in that video, like, as soon as he had a relationship with God, the Bible came alive to him. A lot of times the Bible doesn't make sense because our hearts aren't really open to him. The Bible, in Hebrews 4, it talks about how the word of God is sharper, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then it says, and then the very next verse talks about our eyes are we're naked in to the eyes of him who looks at us. So the word of God is he's looking at us. He's getting to know us. He's doing what he did with this woman right here. He's looking right into her soul. And at the end of the story, he's like, "I know you." You know, it's like, what's her name in the Titanic? And he's like, and he tells her, he says, "Rose, you know me." You know what I mean? But way, way more powerful than that. For you have had five husbands, and the one, I'm like quoting like chick flicks today. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's doing a work. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So I just want you to notice that he's saying that with total love and total something beyond. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So now she's responding on some level. She's not getting into this squabble. Well, where do you worship? Well, you know, my father Jacob, this and that. Like she's, wow, you have something. You have some. There's something to you. Our fathers worshiped, and then she gets onto this though. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So she kind of goes back. I think she's kind of still testing him. Like, all right, you're a prophet. Oh yeah, that reminds me. Okay, you guys don't like us. We don't like you. Are we going to get into a religious battle? Let's do that then. And he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews." So stop right there. And you know, that could be another thing that we could do, is just like try to one up somebody. Oh, I know more Bible verses. You know, I know God. I've been going to church longer. I know God more. You know what I mean? Like, here, let me get you saved. You know, I'm just going to like slap you with the Bible a little bit, and it's all love. It's all good. You know what I mean? And but that's not what Jesus was doing there either. Amen. He's not doing that. Next verse. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true, now he's bringing her back into an invitation again. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now stop there, go back. Man, spirit and truth. Just when I was studying for this, I saw something I'd never seen before, because that's what happens with the Bible. Every time you read something, I don't care how many times you read it to hear and something new every single time. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's always something new. If it's crusty to us, if it's old, if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that, you know, has been out for 2 days, then that's what you're going to get out of it. You know what I mean? But if it's something fresh and alive, then you're going to be blessed. Look at this. The Father in spirit and truth. Truth. He is speaking truth to her. He's going right inside prophetically, but don't get caught up in all the gifts of the Spirit. He's just getting right into truth. He is personified truth, and he's speaking absolute. I know you. I see you, daughter. And I'm still standing right here, inviting you into a relationship. Amen? Spirit and truth. Spirit, my whole heart. My whole heart. He's doing what he's saying we to know God, and that, because it still applies to us. You know, and I've heard, you know, Isaac and other people talk about that verse, you know, and that those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But it's more than, because worshiping God is more than singing, more than, you know, that new awesome song that went down tonight. I love that song. It's love that. You know, I love that our church is. I love that we're breaking forth new songs. Amen. And worship is just, worship is being encountered by God and responding to him with all of our spirit, with all of our soul, responding to the truth. To him, where are you? Where are you, sissy? Where are you? Darren, where are you? Tyler, where are you? Savannah, where are you? I want to know where you are at, where you're at. Are you putting on a facade, or will you let me know where you're at? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but will you, does anybody else on this planet that looks like you, meaning has a body, know where you're at? Does anybody know you? Do you feel known? Because I guarantee you, God's a great place to start. If you don't feel known, great place. He can handle whatever you have to say to him. Amen? Next verse. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, once again, it bears to be repeated. Next, 24, please. Man, if I want to worship God, I can't be wearing a mask. I can't be fake. I'm not talking about put on Christ. That's like doing things by faith and like, but your heart is, you're still, you know, you're doing it by faith. That's different than just like, oh, I'm just settling for acting like I'm one thing, but I'm not inside. Because he's the one that changes us. He's the one who encounters us. And so we need to be real with him. Amen? Amen? Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? They didn't have the guts. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So go back to 28, please. You know, that's a huge deal. We know that she responds, how she responds, you'll hear it when we get to the rest of the verses. But she left her water pot. She just, in other words, that's why she came there. That's a big deal. That's like leaving money. It's like leaving your life, because she can't survive without water. And she could have just slowly gone back and brought her water with her. But there's, just notice the urgency. Something has impacted her in a really powerful way, amen? And then verse 29, look at this, look at her reaction. He just revealed to her that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Like, he didn't really come out and say that very often. Even to his disciples, they'd say, are you the one, or we look for another, to John while he's in prison? Well, look at, did the lame walk, look at the signs. Like, he doesn't even come right out and say it. But to her, he did. But still, that's not what she talks about. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. He knows me. Come see a man that, even though there's so many walls between us, there's so many reasons why this can't happen, he looked right into me and he knows me. Could this be the Christ? Then she says it. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Next verse. And then he talks about the harvest. This is a good one. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I just say this, guys. This wasn't my message, you know, but the harvest. I love seeing, you know, dozens of people in here, and it's awesome. Amen? Glad you're here. You know, and I've been around this church for a while, and I know a lot of us have a heart to see Pico Rivera saved. Amen? So we're glad every one of you is here. But that, the way it happens, you know, the way it happens is by engaging people in their story and talk to them and get involved in their life. And I've said that for years. Like, sometimes evangelism is getting up and walking across the room and talking to somebody. And I know there could be labels. Is there not labels? Yeah. I don't know, in high school, in school, wherever you're going, college. We don't talk to that person. I don't know them. You know what I mean? Like, it's. I get it, but that, trying to shame anybody, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, but I'm just trying to, how about Jesus is our example? How about talking to somebody? Like honestly, that gentleman we saw in the video, man, he starts freedom marches, And there was one in Pershing Square. Oh, I don't know. I was planning on going, and I couldn't make it that day. I could have met him. I want to meet him. I want to talk to him. What? You what? Do you really? No way. All right. Maybe we'll get to meet him or something. That's awesome. Divine steps. But this is the thing. But wait a minute. He's fun to talk to now. What about when he's in that lifestyle? What if I was living in Georgia? What if he was living here? What would I have done if I saw him? And he doesn't come right out and say, oh, I'm watching Jensen Franklin. I'm totally open to the things of God. I want to change. I want to be different. That makes it easy. A lot of times it's easy to, you guys are here seeking God, and we need God when we come to church. I'm not saying that we don't need God. But I'm just saying that's just a whole nother level. But the reality is when we live known by God, when we live known and accountable to each other in a loving way, that is attractive to people who need God. That's why, did you hear what he said? He says, I know people who live for you, Jesus. Did you hear for that? I bet there's some people who are fakers that he knew too. But God told me years ago, he says, all it takes is one true witness. One real witness. What's up, sister? One authentic witness. A genuine witness of having a relationship with Christ that can undo all kinds of other bad witnesses. Come on, receive that right now. That's you guys. I believe I'm talking to a room full of people who are those good witnesses. That I had this one, I went to Bible college, and then I spent a summer back home, and then I went back to another college and got my degree. And I, in that summer in between, I was talking to this, I had this English class, I had a couple of classes, and this what teacher was just like off the wall against Christianity. And I was just like, I just saw it as a chance to like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and nothing was going to faze me because I was just so full of God. I'm like, I'm just, hi, how are you today, miss? Whatever her name was. Anyway, and she was all trying to spew her, you know, bah, 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 new age and cult. And I mean, she wasn't all that. She was just like, just bitter. And at the end, I said, wow, at the end of the class, I said, man, that was, thanks for teaching the class. And she said, honestly, when I found out you were a Christian, she said, I've never met a Christian like you. She said, and honestly, if I would have known you were in the class, I would have taught it differently. And to me, that was like her saying, I'm sorry, you know, for that edge, you know what I mean, that she came with. And I just, that was such a compliment to me at that time. That meant so much because I wasn't preaching the word to her. You know, that when people say that, it really convicts me. Like, you know, your lifestyle changed me. Like, I want that. I want more of that. I want to live it. It's not easy. This is how we do it. It's by being real. All right, verse 36. Sozo youth. Is there a verse 36 in that chapter, or did I miss it? Yeah. And he, let's go. All right, he says a bunch of amazing things. Verse 39. Jesus, we love your red letters, but we've got to go to verse 39, okay? All right, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Once again, what's her tag? What's her hook? What's her, wow, he told me, go back, all that I ever did. He knows me. So she goes and she leaves her water pot. She runs back to Samaria and she's just sharing with a, I mean, can you see the excitement? Can you see the power of this witness? Can you see that? Powerful witness. And she just met the Messiah. Don't ever think you don't have what it takes to share Christ with people. Because guess what? Maybe when they ask you some, you know, lame question like, well, can God build a rock, make a rock that's too big for him to move, you know, or something, you know, whatever, then you can just, God will give you the words to say anyway. Not to mention, if you just say the words, I don't know, that could speak more to somebody because it's true. You know what I mean? Sometimes I remember this one time. We were doing a treasure hunt. We were at that one conference, the water one. The water one? The one in Whittier. And we went on a treasure hunt. And what was it called? Thirst. Thirst, the Thirst Conference. And I was with a couple other youth, and we were in Uptown. And we had, like, this girl had a monkey suit? Monkey on her shirt. And she had a yellow something else. And anyway, God gave us these three clues, and she had all three of them. And we're like, dude, you're God's treasure. We want to talk to you. Can we talk to you? And then all of a sudden, she's like really hearing the word of God, and she's receiving it. And then she says, well, I got a question. You can see that whole thing, like the Samaritan woman, like the chip gets back on our shoulder. What do you guys think about homosexuals? And like, honestly, I had like my whole pastor answer. Like it was like a whole sermon. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, and then Jason just said, he loves them. And like, I was like, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's exactly what I was gonna say, Jason, good job. You know what I mean? Like I was about to mess it up, honestly. I was about to mess it up. I was. Hey, you two, what's going on back there? Yeah, because sometimes less is more. He spoke that straight from his heart, straight to her heart, and she totally diffused that demonic thing that was coming on her, and she accepted Christ that day. Wow. She totally got saved. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed in him. Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. Now watch this. 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. They want truth in their life. They want truth when somebody visits you, when somebody comes, then you can't put on those facades easily, right? You got to be real when you're at home. I mean, it's anyone can put on a facade for a couple hours while you're here in youth group. But if I follow you at home and I live with you, then eventually I'm going to get to know you and you're going to get to know me. It's the power of summer camp. Right, roomie? There's my roomie right there. All right. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. Next verse. Stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen? Come on, give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. James, a couple more verses. James 3. Santiago. James chapter 3, verse 9 says, no, for 13. Yeah, thank you. Who is wise and understanding among you? Does anybody want to be wise and understanding? Let's look at God's definition, right? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The wisdom is more than just having head knowledge. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's two very, very, very different wisdom's there. There's a wisdom that's sensual, demonic, and earthly. And there's a wisdom from God. Pure, easy to be entreated, gentle. What's the difference? It's a little verse. Go to verse 14. In verse 14, it says these words, do not boast and lie against the truth. Do not boast and lie against the truth. I could come up here, preach a sermon, and some of you probably already think I'm more spiritual than I am anyway, just because you know somebody preaches a sermon. And then I could, you know, so there's preachers that they know they have you fooled, right? Oh, and then they go and they boast and they lie against the truth. And it's not just preachers, it's Christians in general. It's all kinds of other, you know, positions of authority and parents, and it can be done, but God is calling us to a place of truth, to a place of being known, to a place of opening our hearts completely to Him. Amen? I saw this bumper sticker when I was on the road the other day. It said, lie in the light, dabble in the darkness. If you lie in the light, dabble in the darkness. See, because when the Bible says in 1 John, it talks about walking in the light as He is in the light. That's being known. That's being truthful about yourself, and not trying to cover it up. And when we reject that, when you reject light, the only option is darkness. You know, they say that. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before in school and stuff. And I remember we used to drive through downtown LA, and my parents had a craft business at that time, and we'd see, my sisters and I, you know, we grew up in the suburbs and stuff, and there wasn't homeless where we lived, and so we're like, I'm like, why is that person like sleeping on the street, Mom? And her answer to me at that time was, that actually sounds funny. Actually, it's really funny. Well, that's what happens when you don't go to college. That's exactly what she told me. Guys, that is not true. There's a lot of people in college there's lots more than me who are on the street. People, and I'm not blanket statement for anybody, but you've heard this, probably heard people say, who had a goal when they were kids to go to jail, to be divorced, to be on the street? You know, when they talk about when somebody in those places of serious aloneness and trial, it's when they've exhausted all relationships, especially like the homeless. I'm not picking on the homeless. I'm just saying like that's what I've seen research say, is that they're usually that way because they've exhausted all relationships. They have nowhere else to go. But why do they exhaust relationships? Because they kept lying. And some of them have serious addictions. But how does addiction come? By lying about where we're at. We didn't get a need met. We're lost, we're confused, we're alone, we're feeling these things. Oh no, I'm good. I'm good, I'm fine. I've got this thing over here to help me to feel better about myself. And maybe it's not drugs or sex or, you know, alcohol yet, but it could be some kind of a performance treadmill. It could be something else. Anything that keeps you or me from being known by God, and at least, I'd say, at least one other person. My question tonight is there someone in your life that knows everything about you? And I'm not saying that should just be anybody. And like I said, it should be first be God. He can handle whatever you got. He knows anyway, but you know what? He doesn't know. It's almost like, yeah, he knows because he's all knowing. But, you know, and this is heavy, you know, but it applies. So I've just got to say it. The people that will be separated from him, and that's what hell is. I know people don't like that four-letter word, but all it is just away from God forever. Every good thing comes from him. So when we step away from him, it's hell. He says to them, depart from me for what? I never knew you. Sorry, bro. I didn't admit that was like a deep moment, and I pointed right at you and like, yeah, it's okay. I'm glad I already met you earlier. That's good. Depart from me, for I never knew you. That's why there could be preachers that he says it to. That's why it could be churchgoers. And it's not about I never knew God. It's about I never let him know me. I never opened myself to him completely. I continue to turn away from the light, and all I could have there because of that is darkness. You know, God made us. This is where I'm at right now, and it's not a fun place, but it's the right place. And that's God is teaching me to be more needy. And it's really hard for me because the way I was raised and the learned behaviors that I had of just not being known. I learned that from a child. I learned to just, if I'm quiet and in the background and I'm a good boy, then I'll be fine. I won't have any problems. And that's not being known. And so, like, all these years later, I mean, not that many years, JC, it hasn't been that long, but still, like, all these years later, like, he's teaching me, I made you to be needy. Look in Genesis, we'll close, but look in Genesis. After he refused to answer truthfully, where are you? What did God start telling them? You will have to work really hard, you guys. And, you know, and the ground, you know, won't produce fruit, and you have to work really hard in your jobs, and life will be tough. Ladies, not only will you have to have the kids and it's going to be painful and whatever, but you're going to have to raise those kids. I mean, not alone, hopefully, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just having the child he's talking about. What does that do? What did that put their lives in? Put their lives in a place of neediness before him even more. It wasn't a punishment. It was I'm going to put reminders in your life that you need me. And that is loving. That relationship. Look at this thing, like, we age. Like, that was never God's plan, was to, you know, have pains and aches and whatever, you know. But it causes humans to need him. We're supposed to need him more the day we take our last breath than the day that we came into the world completely dependent upon these people in that hospital room for everything. Like, more dependent than that on him. We're not supposed to be independent. We're not supposed to be self-reliant. We're not supposed to be doing it, you know, picking ourselves up by our bootstrap. We're supposed to be living life the way God intended us to live life, dependent upon him. Amen?